Well, many of us, maybe all of us, have at one point or another been involved in something that is if and then. You ever been involved in something that's if and then? We've been involved and had our children involved in those things over the years. You know, if you clean the garage, then you get to eat dinner. No, you get maybe we'll go for ice cream or something. Many of us, probably most of us, have been on both sides of that if then at one time or another. I remember as a little boy, I grew up on a farm, and we had. 50 acres. We had a 123 acre farm that I grew up on, and it had a big hill behind it, and then down below it had 50 acres of flat, what we called bottom land, that my dad farmed. The hillside was basically where the cows and horses grazed, and then the farm below was where we planted our crops. And so my dad would plant, now it wasn't like it is now. Nowadays, when we live in East Palestine, once in a while I'd hear a tractor out there at night when I was sleeping or when I was half asleep, and then they were gone, and a couple of weeks later there was stuff growing, right? That's kind of the way they do it now. But when we farmed with horses, of course, and then my dad would plant corn, and row after row of corn. And then when this corn got to be about that high, we would cultivate it. And as a little boy, my job was day after day, literally, to walk behind this cultivator that he cultivated, individual rows. And once in a while, the cultivator would shift a little bit or something and cover a piece of corn. And my job was to walk behind this cultivator, and if a piece of corn was covered, to uncover it so that it could continue to grow. And so my dad would tell me, if you do that, if I was a little boy, I would do that. If you do that, then at the end of the summer, I would get a little gift, you know. And that's just something that I remember doing as a little boy. And then, so I remember one summer, I got a little pocket knife or something. And that was, as a little boy, that was a big thing, you know, then. It's not so much these days, but it was then. Little things. If then, if you do this, then I will do that. We've all been involved. The Bible has if-thens in it, a lot of them. Has quite a few if-thens in it. One of the famous ones, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, God says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's, of course, not something that we're going to be talking about today, but it's just a fairly famous if-then. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Some of you probably already have that and know where that is. Paul wrote some of if-thens. In 1 Corinthians, for instance, it said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. The Bible has a number of if-thens. Let's look at one today that we'll focus on a little bit in Proverbs. If-then, Proverbs chapter 2. Let's turn there if you would. If-then, Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll read verse 4 first of all. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. Interesting set of scripture here. If you seek her as silver, If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, the New Revised Standard Version there says, if you seek it as silver or like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. So if we seek it. Now, what are we searching and seeking for? Seek her or it as silver. Silver is an interesting metal. It's a precious metal. I thought about bringing, I have a couple of little silver coins. Thought about bringing one in because it's an interesting metal. There's silver in a lot of things and in a lot of places. It's interesting. Northeast Ohio is known to have some silver. I know a man who has made it a hobby to pan for silver in this area. In fact, in the Salem area where we live is one of the hotter areas, I guess, in panning into some of these recreational where people have hobbyists that pan for silver. And he told me that if you go along a little creek beds and you pan, you could probably, if you know where and what you're doing, you could probably get a little bit of silver. Now, not a whole lot, but it's something that people seek and search for. If you look at the process of mining silver and how they go about it, you know, they mine silver and they go down about, they get it from rock and soil about a kilometer down in the earth. A kilometer is about 0.6 miles. That's pretty far down in the earth. And then they go down, and then when they find mines of it or find more than just, I mean, there's silver in probably in the rock that's in your yard. There may be a little bit of silver, but not enough that it was makes it worth extracting. There's silver in seawater, but not enough that it's worth extracting. But they go down, they find these deposits of silver that are larger, and they crush this rock, and they bring it up, and they put it way down in the earth. They bring it up in dump trucks, and they with these front end loaders, and then they run it through a process where it's put through water and certain chemicals. It's crushed basically to the flour, you know, thin flour levels, and put in water, and so these chemicals bring the silver to the top, and then it's heated to certain levels, and all of a sudden they have a bunch of silver, have an ingot of silver, and then they flatten that out through a press and stamp out little round coins that we might see. I have one that my parents gave me many, many years ago from the early 1900s. It's an interesting, it's something, it's not a simple process. And here, Solomon said, if you seek it, seek her as silver. As silver. Silver has a lot of uses. And if you search for it as for hidden treasures, you know, we could tell stories about hidden treasures. We've had stories and used examples in times past in messages about hidden treasures. And Mr. Myers gave us an example a couple of years ago of a hidden treasure that people looked for. We've seen movies where people seek and search for hidden treasure. So we have this instruction here, if we seek as for silver, or we search as for hidden treasures. Now, what are we seeking and searching for? What are we seeking and searching for? Well, let's go back a couple of verses here to verse 1, and we'll read through verses 1 through 3, and we can see what we are to be seeking and searching for. Verse 1 says, my son, if, again, we're talking about if, then, if you receive my words and treasure, if you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out, verse 3, for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding. So here we see these things that we're to be seeking. You know, the writer here is Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, saying, if you receive my words, if you treasure my commands, if you'll incline your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. We'll look at these individually today. We'll look at these elements here, these elements of if. But I'd like us to think of this message today as we go through these points, that we consider our commitment to God's way of life. Let's consider our commitment to God's way of life. Mr. Myers, I don't know, maybe some of you had an opportunity last night to listen or watch FNL. Anybody have an opportunity to watch FNL? It was a very interesting message that Mr. Myers gave. Basically talked about a time warp to 1975. Now, for some of you, you don't have a clue, or you don't have any. You might have a clue. You might have read a little history, heard a little bit about 1975. But for many of us, we remember. We remember 1975, and he talked about going back and talking about some of the things that went on. And one in his first two points, I thought, kind of fit here a little bit. He said the church was zealous for the work, and point number two was the church was at the center of our lives. And so the question I might ask us today as we go through these points and consider some of these if points, might ask ourselves the question or consider those couple of things. You know, is the church at the center of our life? You know, one of the reasons that we came up with pizza night. I was couple of reasons. One is I was listening to somebody else's message one day, and they had done something where they, I don't know that it was a pizza night, but they had gotten together and done something, and I thought, you know what, we need to do that. But then I was also looking, I have an old King James Bible my mom and dad gave me, and I may have mentioned this to you before, but I have an old King James Bible my mom and dad gave me way back in, I think, in the early 70s. And I used that Bible for many, many years. When I was just a young teenage boy, they gave it to me. And that was my Bible for many, many years. And one time I was studying something, and once in a while I pull that Bible off my shelf, and I'll look, I wonder what the original King James said on that. So once in a while, and most of the time I do that on a computer because we all have it computerized. But anyway, I pulled that Bible off my shelf and looked at it, and in the front of the Bible, I have a calendar, one of our church calendars. Now, we didn't have them online like we do now, but we did. We receive them in print as well. But it was a church calendar, similar, not unlike the one we receive today, but a little different, from the late 80s. So I pulled, and I was looking through that, and I thought, man, we used to do a lot of stuff. We had, on that calendar, of course, we had the weekly Sabbath services like we do now, but on that calendar, every Wednesday in that month, and I think it might have been, it was a summer month, probably June of 1988 or something. Every Wednesday, we had a Bible study. Every Tuesday, we had softball practice for those of us who played softball. In the wintertime, it was probably something else, basketball practice or something. We had several nights a week where we did things and showed up and we did them. And I thought, you know, and I was thinking about that, and I thought about this message I'd heard about them doing something, and I thought, we need to do things. We need to get together. We need to, and that's why we ended up having a pizza night and having another one. We need to get together and do things. We're family. We need to enjoy time and do things together. Luke chapter 14. So I want as we go through these points today, and we'll look at all those ifs. You know, if you receive my words, treasure my commands, incline your ear, apply your heart, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice. If we do these things, I want us to think of it in terms of our commitment to God's way of life and to one another, our commitment to God and to one another, and helping and praying and being involved in each other's lives. Luke chapter 14. In verse 25, Luke 14 and verse 25, this is a familiar scripture to us, and I say that because for those of us, when we went through baptism counseling, we went through this verse. We talked about this verse. This was something that was, and I know, I'm sure every one of us here, When we counseled for baptism, discussed and went through this. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25 says, "And now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them." So he had great multitudes that followed Jesus Christ in and around different places. And he said in verse 26, Christ said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate." Now that word hate is from the Greek word miseo, and it means to love less. That's what it means. Doesn't mean that you have to hate in the sense that we think in terms of our English word hate. Doesn't mean, obviously, that you have to hate your mother and father and wife and children, brothers, sisters. It just means love less by comparison. And it gives a sense of commitment. It gives a sense of commitment to God's way of life. If anyone comes to me and does not love less or hate or love less his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, our own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. So God the Father and Jesus Christ always have to come first in our lives. They always have to come first, and they always have to be first. And we can love more. We can love more. We talked about love less. We can love more if we love God first. We can love more if we love God first. There's a lot of love in this room. Whenever we get together, there's a lot of love. We love one another, don't we? We talk to each other. We know each other. We get together. We love each other. And I've been in a lot of meetings over the years in a lot of different venues that are sometimes larger than this, sometimes a little smaller than this, where there's might be a healthy respect for each other, but there's not the love. Not the love that we have, because we have God's Spirit and we put God first. We can love more, can't we? We can love more. We can love each other more because we have God's Spirit and we put God first in our lives. So this scripture, this section of scripture, of course, is something that was covered at baptism. This verse 26 specifically, part of counting the cost, but that we have to put God first. You know, has our commitment strengthened and grown since that time? Has our commitment since the time that we were baptized? Since the time we were baptized. It's coming up for me on, what, 39 years, I think. I was thinking the other night that I've been, next year in 2021 will be 40 years that I personally have been baptized. Been in the church quite a bit longer than that, but I was a young teenager at the time when we came into the church. But many years, and I was asked myself that question, has my commitment to the church, to God, and to the church, and to His way of life strengthened and grown like it should? You know, we've got, we're only, as we said in the announcement period, referenced that we're only 7 weeks away from the Passover. The next couple of months now, we're going to be hearing quite a few messages. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be hearing messages about this and about, you know, examining ourselves and looking at some of these things and considering some of these things. And are we committed to God's way of life? You know, are we zealous for the work, as Mr. Myers mentioned last night? You know, is the church and God's way of life and God's people at the center of our lives? Does that always come first? Does God always come first for us? It's a question that we can ask ourselves as we go through the process of examination and preparation for the upcoming Passover. So point number one there was, if you receive my words, back to, we won't necessarily turn back to it, because you can put, if you want to, if we go back to Proverbs chapter 2 and put a little 3x5 there, we'll come back to it a time or two, but not frequently. But the first point there was in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, the first if was, if you receive my words. Do we receive God's words? Let's go back to a couple of scriptures, and we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 7. Somewhat similar scripture in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. Proverbs 7 verse 1 says, "My son, keep my words, and treasure my commands within you." Treasure my commands within you. Do we treasure God's commands? Do we, and we'll talk about that in point number two here in a minute, do we, though, keep God's words? Is that, do we receive God's word? Is that real important to us, to receive God's word every day? Every day that we pray and that we study God's words. Is that real important to us? We'll see as these ifs, if in Proverbs chapter 2, as we go through these, that they're somewhat similar, but a little bit different, but they all intertwine with each other. Matthew chapter 7, we'll just look at a couple of scriptures here. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. A very important set of scripture. Jesus Christ here, again talking as he was he gave the Beatitudes in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And in verse 24 of chapter 7, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," whoever hears these sayings of mine, the New American Standard Bible says, "words of mine." Whoever hears these words, these sayings, these words of mine, So we need to hear these words, don't we? We need to receive God's words. We need to make sure that we receive God's words on a regular basis. Whoever hears these sayings, these words of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the, we might put the word the, rock. That rock, of course, we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. We'll not turn there, but that rock, of course, is Jesus Christ. That rock, who we hear the words, and we built our house, we hear God's words, and we built our lives, our house, our lives on the rock, on Jesus Christ. Verse 25 says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It's founded on the rock. If we build our foundation and we build our lives on Jesus Christ, the wind will not blow it away, will not be swayed by every wind of doctrine, as we can read in other sections of Scripture. So we are to receive, Solomon said, receive my words. We'll receive God's word. Number two, the second point there, if you treasure my commands within you, treasure my commands within you. Proverbs chapter 6, go back to the book of Proverbs, and chapter 6, we'll see an instruction here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, my son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually up upon your heart. So we are to bind them. They are to be bound in our hearts. God's way of life is to be bound in our hearts. Tie them around your neck. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. So when we're out and about, wherever we are, wherever we go, when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp. It's a lamp, guides our life. And the law of light, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs, you know, or we might say that word reproofs there can be correction. We might say course corrections. So we have, God has a plan. Dr. Guy talked about the plan of God in the first split sermon, that if we can make part of God's plan, of course, is this spring holiday season we're coming upon, when we have the Passover, and when God has us evaluate and examine and look into our lives and reproof, part of reproof, we make course corrections, don't we? We look at the course we're going in certain areas in our lives. We examine those things. And we make course corrections. or reproofs of the instruction are a way of life. We make course corrections. We correct the course in our lives. So we treasure his commands, don't we? We treasure his commands. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, we'll read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 several scriptures here that we could turn to. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see again a familiar instruction that as I read through and as we read through, we'll think, well, I've read that before or heard that before. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart." God's words are to be in our heart, aren't they? We're to treasure, as Solomon said in Proverbs 2:1, "Treasure my commands within you." They're to be in our heart. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up." These things are to be in our heart and they're to be part of us, and we talk about them. We converse with our brothers and sisters about them and our children. "You shall bind them up," verse 8, "as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So treasure, if you treasure my commands. Number 3, incline your ear to wisdom. If you incline your ear to wisdom. That's, again, found in Proverbs chapter 2, and I think that's beginning in verse 2. If you incline your ears to wisdom, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1. Proverbs 18 and verse 1, incline, it says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against wise judgment." Against wise judgment. We don't rage against wise judgment. We incline our ears. We pay attention. That's what it means to incline your ears, to pay attention to give heed to wisdom, to be wise, not rage against wise. So we're to be wise. Psalm chapter 119, another scripture we'll look at here in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 111 and 112. Psalm 119, verse 111. Psalm 119, 111, "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Verse 112 says, "I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end." Have we inclined our heart, our ears to wisdom? Do we incline our ears? Do we pay attention? Do we give heed? Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, we won't turn there, says, "He who has ears to hear." We see that repeated over and over again in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, within the messages to the seven churches. He who has ears to hear. So if you pay attention, if you incline your ear to wisdom, Solomon said and wrote in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, verse 2 rather. If you have ears to hear, incline your ear Incline your ear. Do we incline our ears? Do we pay attention? Number four, the fourth if, or fourth point, again, is apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to understanding. The Hebrew there, apply, it means to appoint. One of the meanings of the Hebrew word is to appoint. Appoint your heart. Apply your heart to understanding. Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 17 through 21. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. Again says, incline your ear. Incline your ear. That goes back to the previous point. Incline your ear. And hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge. Appoint, apply yourselves. We need to apply ourselves, don't we? For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. Verse 19, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge? Verse 21, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you. So we're to know these words of truth, aren't we? We're to know these words of truth. An interesting scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So we are to apply our heart to understanding, appoint ourselves, to apply ourselves to be able to understand. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 25. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 25 says, I applied my heart to know. Do we apply our heart to know? To search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things. To know the wickedness of folly, even of the foolishness of madness. But I thought it's an interesting scripture. I applied my heart, Solomon said here, to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things. So we're instructed to apply our heart. Do we have a commitment? Have we made a commitment? And do we have a commitment to do that? Number five. So again, we have to search the scriptures daily, don't we? We have to search out the scriptures and study God's word if we're going to apply our heart to know and apply our heart to understanding. Number five, cry out for discernment. Cry out for discernment. That's in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3, I think it is, either 2 or 3. Cry out for discernment. The King James says, yea, if you criest after knowledge. It's used interchangeably. Hebrew here can also mean understanding. We cry out for discernment, for knowledge, for understanding. Proverbs chapter 8, back a couple of chapters here from Ecclesiastes where we're at. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs 8 and verse 17 says, I love those who love me. I love those, God says, who love me. We love God, don't we? And God loves us. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Cry out. Those who seek me diligently will find me. You know, we need to ask God for an understanding heart, don't we? We need to ask God for an understanding heart to give us the ability to discern both good and evil. We need to ask God for a discerning heart. Number six, lift up your voice for understanding. Again, somewhat similar point. Lift up your voice. Lift up thy voice, as it says in the King James Version. Lift up your voice. Give your voice, as it's meant in the Hebrew. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 6. Back a couple of chapters here to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him." In all your ways, acknowledge him. I repeat that because it's so important that we acknowledge, that we cry out, that we lift up our voice, that we give God the credit, that we acknowledge God and what he does for us in our lives. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. God will direct our paths, but we need to acknowledge God. So, brethren, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. We've looked at these points on an individual basis. There are numerous other scriptures that I have noted here that I could have gone to on all these various points that we made, on all these various ifs. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2, though, and look at these ifs again. We have the six ifs, don't we? If you receive my words, treasure my commands, incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. Actually, you could make it a seventh one. There in verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then, Solomon said, then, verse 5, verses 5 through 9, then, if we do these things, then you will understand, verse 5, the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield, verse 7, to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then, verse 9, you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. What a wonderful promise we have here in these then. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God. Then you will understand righteousness. You will understand justice. You will understand equity. Then you will understand every good path. So, brethren, let's think about. Let's think about as we go through in the weeks ahead, as we go through the preparation and begin to consider evaluating and examining ourselves for the time of the spring holy days, the time of the Passover. Let's think about our commitment. Let's think about our commitment. We can see the thens. You know, we can see God's commitment, can't we? God is very committed to us. We can see God's commitment. Let's receive these words, or his words, treasure his commands, incline our ears, apply our hearts, cry out, lift up our voice. Let's see God's commitment to us, and let's be committed to him.